B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And fantasy football for a lot of people has begun. And for Mike Larkin and I, it starts today.
8 o'clock tonight. You going to be ready, or am I going to have to text you at 7:55 saying, where are you?
I have it in the cozy calendar.
Okay. I have to call him at 5:20, and I'll have to text him tonight at 7:55. It'll be twice I have to get
Sometimes you. It's hard to log in. But nonetheless.
And you're not in Newport this time for the first time ever, so.
I'm not in Newport. I'm home. I will be at home at 8 o'clock strategizing and everything else under the sun.
Loading you guys know your draft order yet?
Yeah, yes. You have like 6 and I'm 3.
I have 8.
Oh, you have 8? Okay, great.
See, I never find out until an hour before.
Yeah, I always pull them early because I like people to prepare and get ready and have time to figure it out.
You have 8, so I did better than you last year?
Yeah, so I had a great team, and then it just fizzled out. And then because of the playoffs at the end, like the ones that don't matter, I ended up losing so poorly, I get the third pick. So it kind of worked out.
All right.
I was 5-0 at one point. That's how crazy the season went. And then all of a sudden, I wake up from a nap, and I lose Kareem Hunt for the season, and things started spiraling from there, and that's fantasy football right
exactly
there.
Exactly what happened to me.
So in our league, it's half PPR.
It is,
half
point. Yeah, so you got to get ready for that. Yeah, you got to know your league stats, by the way. You got to know if it's PPR, standard, point per reception. You got to know these things because sometimes quarterbacks can get tons of points, and you've been told all these years, don't take a quarterback first. But in some leagues, you have to because they get so many points. So point per completion. And in some leagues, and it gets kind of crazy.
So our league is not points per completion.
No, I don't do that. So you stay away from quarterbacks.
Except the thing is that Mike sets the rules.
I do. And I don't tell anybody most of them. So.
Yeah. He keeps it all to himself. I don't know where this information is gathered.
One would think you would do better than third to last with that kind of information at your disposal.
He's rigged the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right. So, you talk about people who don't take quarterbacks in a league that's just PPR. You would not take a quarterback.
Right.
What round is it? Is there anyone who stands out enough as a quarterback that you would take them early in a draft?
So the earliest I would go with Pat Mahomes is the third round. So say you have the first pick of the third round, and you've taken Barkley, and you come back, and you get a good wide receiver, maybe like a Mike Evans is there. You take him, you get a number one wide receiver, you take a quarterback with Pat Mahomes, and he got so many more points than the other quarterbacks and any of the other players last year that now you have two huge players plus a number one wide receiver. That's really going to set your lineup really well for the rest of the season. And then you can start drafting a lot of running backs, a lot of wide receivers, and you're going to have to eat it somewhere, maybe tight end. Maybe you'll be a little light on wide receiver at the back end, and you can get some guys with upside. But I've done it that way. I've done it where I've drafted Mahomes in the third round, and it's gone well, and then I've passed on him, and I've loaded up on other areas and drafted quarterbacks late, and I liked my roster there too. So you can do it both ways and be successful, but it's very intriguing to get like a Saquon Barkley or an Alvin Kamara and pair him with a Pat Mahomes.
You mentioned the earliest possible point you take a quarterback. When's the earliest point you take a tight end? Because you talked about getting running backs and wide receivers early, obviously quarterback end of the second, early third, but there are some tight ends out there like Kittle and who's the guy?
Travis Kelce.
Yeah, that are huge, consistent point makers for you. When do you take those guys?
I think that you can start looking at Travis Kelce early in the second round. I mean, he got so many points last year that he's right there with some of the big name wide receivers and running backs. So he's the one guy that stands out. Zach Ertz looks good, but he's now got Dallas Goedert, and he might eat up some of the red zone targets. And Kittle, I don't know about that offense. His statistics could go down a little bit. Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't looked great in the preseason. The weapons around him aren't the best, but he's somebody I would look at late second, early third round.
Okay, when do you take – is there a receiver? Because the standard way of operating is that you load up on running backs early. Are there receivers that you would take early to mid first round.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins and Davante Adams stand out. Those are the two guys I'm going to take kind of 5, 6, 7, that area. Odell Beckham Jr. more toward the end of the first round. Michael Thomas also is another guy at the end of the first round, especially if you're in like a 14-team league, you got to get these guys with the big points and load up as much as you can and get a lot of depth. So those are some guys that I would get. And then in the second round, guys like Tyreek Hill, people are passing on Hill for some reason. He put up so many points last year. That if you can get him somewhere in the middle of the late second round, that's a lot of value.
Obviously, with a lot of local drafts, people jump on Patriots far earlier than they should. Tom Brady is one of those guys that you're in sitting there in the third round. Well, I'll go draft Tom Brady. Well, Tom Brady's not the point guy he used to be, I would imagine, in your point of view. And I wanted to ask you about running backs. I mean, because you draft one Patriots running back, don't you then have to go draft another one?
Well, it depends on what the rest of your roster looks like. If you need to do that, great. But if you grab Sony Michel, let's say, and then you get James White, you can balance yourselves. There's been times in where teammates, you can pair them together and get away with it. And Sony Michel and James White are two of those guys that you could have, say, one as a running back and one as a flex. And it could be a pretty good week for you because they could both score. White, depending if it's like a point per reception league, could get a lot of receptions that week. So you can definitely get those guys. As far as a handcuff, are you talking like a Harris?
That's what I'm saying, to protect yourself.
Well, yeah, Sony Michel's had a lot of injuries, so over the years, you got to definitely get a guy to back him up. So whether it's a guy who is on another team or a teammate, sure, you definitely need a backup plan for Sony Michel.
Earliest you would take Brady?
Oh, God.
Never.
Round 13, okay. 12. I mean, there's just so many quarterbacks who put up similar stats. You don't need to reach for Tom Brady because he's got a huge name. And in my opinion, I think they run a lot more this year. We saw at the end of last year, it worked well. Then they go and draft Harris. I mean, to load up on more guys that can run the ball, and the defense looks good. So, you know, Tom Brady doesn't have to throw quite as much this year. I think the numbers will be there for guys like Edelman, Gordon when he's on the field. But as far as drafting a Tom Brady, have another guy too, because I think he's going to be like a spot starter, a guy you'll want some weeks, but a guy that you might not want other weeks.
All right, so two guys that are in unique situations, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
And Antonio Brown has got a whole thing going on in Oakland with the quarterback situation.
Oh, that started in like March with the blonde mustache and then freaking out about the helmet and then burning his feet. It's been just a train wreck for him.
Right. And Le'Veon Bell obviously hasn't played football in almost 2 years because he's not playing in the preseason. How does that affect their draft status for you?
Yeah, it's a real unknown. And now you go to the Jets, you're not in the Pittsburgh system with a million weapons around you. You've got a young quarterback. Will he take another step forward? You know, I think he can, you know, take a step forward, but I don't think he's going to be great this year. But I do like Le'Veon Bell as like a late first rounder, early second rounder, depending on how many teams you're in your league. He's going to be the focal point of that offense. He's going to get a ton of receptions. I think he's going to score a lot, too. So he's a guy I'm looking at there at the back end of the first round, early second. And then Antonio Brown. I mean, in the third round, if he's sitting there and you're a late pick in the third round, maybe you gamble on him. But, I mean, the stats will probably be there for the most part. They won't be like they were when he was in Pittsburgh. But is he going to freak out at some point and just decide he doesn't want to play anymore for like
Very
six
possible.
Weeks? Or I mean, he did it last year, and he's done it in the preseason so far. So he's a real gamble. I mean, he's going to be productive when he's on the field. And now he has Derek Carr, so it's not like he's got Roethlisberger throwing to him, so he's not that slam-dunk first-round pick anymore. But I would take a chance in the third round.
Rookies always make an impact on your fantasy football team, and I know Josh Jacobs is obviously the big one in Oakland. By default, he's the lead back out there, but I know you're really high on David Montgomery in Chicago, too.
Yeah, well, let me talk about Josh Jacobs for a second, because he worries me a little bit. He didn't run a lot in college, so is he going to be able to take the ball 20 times a game all 16 weeks? No way. I don't think he's going to be able to do that, so people need to temper expectations on that a little bit. But David Montgomery, the Bears seem to absolutely love him. They want to give him most of the carries. They want to throw to him a lot. They're still going to use Tariq Cohen, but they're going to use him less. They're going to throw to him more because he's a very small guy. But, yeah, I think David Montgomery is a guy, if you can find him in the fourth round, you're going to get a great second running back, a guy who you could be looking at next year, maybe early second round, maybe late first round.
All right, Mike Lockhart, it is the fantasy football show.
Yep, Sundays 8 to 10. We're on Twitch this year.
Yeah, so I heard some of the fantasy football show.
Nice.
Yeah, that's right, baby.
I was at him early.
Yeah.
Wow, look at you guys.
Yeah, I was out there doing everything that I could.
So go like Lockhart. Listen to him on the Fantasy Football Show, 8 to 10 on Sundays. Rich is working on something. He'll have that for us when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub.
Hello, boys and girls.
There were two things that I remember being
like must-see television.
Toucher and Rich on Twitch TV. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we have another Everybody's Angry in Brookline 911 calls. Actual 911 calls from the... I guess, what is it? Is it Brookline a city or a township? What the hell is it?
I thought it was a town.
It's not a city, I think. I think it's officially a town.
Okay.
It's weird. It's not, I believe, because they don't have a city hall. They have a town hall, I think.
All right. Well, so. Very interesting. We'll have that for you.
That will be at 8 o'clock. Fred, there is a show that I saw coming on last night, and I stayed up and watched it. It was around 11 o'clock, and I'm glad I did because it was worth every second of staying up late. It is a show called Straight Up Steve Austin.
All right, Steve. Yeah, what was the thing he wore on his shirt?
Well, 316? Austin 316.
Yeah, you would chug brews.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. And now all of a sudden, now you have my attention. James Stewart has got the cat ears up now.
He always played too much to the crowd.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way, Becky Lynch getting married.
Becky Lynch going to be on Straight Up Steve Austin, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
She got over you.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
She knew she couldn't have him, so she went for the next best
thing. She went for some honk.
Mm-hmm. But basically the whole plot of Straight Up Steve Austin is that Steve Austin shows up to places and makes it a million times more kick-ass.
Okay, so if I have, like, an ice cream shop and I'm having trouble, you know, getting it to do well, he comes in to make sure it kicks ass?
Just get ready. We're about to kick some ass. And I found out, and he has, like, a special guest on every episode, and Fred... Last night, as a special guest, he had your favorite person in the entire NFL, Baker Mayfield.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's right.
So
oil and vinegar, Steve, put them together.
You know how, like, comedians in cars getting coffee, you know, yes. Shows up in a car? Well, Steve Austin also shows up in a car. This ain't no ordinary car, though, all right?
Is it Gravedigger?
Just know that he's about to pull up and blow a little Baker Mayfield mind here.
All right.
Goodness.
You recognize it?
I'll be honest with you. I was expecting like an RV.
Yeah, that's a Warthog. Man, I can't roll up here and bring you an RV.
Is this serious right now?
Yeah. Hey, man. Put my shades on. Are you feeling dangerous today?
I'm feeling dangerous right now.
All right, what's going on?
A lot of redneck mumbling.
All right, what's a Warthog?
A lot of yokel talk. Warthog. It's like this kick-ass. It looks. You ever seen the video game Halo before?
Yes.
It looks like the giant tank they use in Halo.
Oh, Jesus. And then Baker Mayfield's like, is this real?
Is this real?
No, nah, man.
Bet your ass, boy. Get out of here. Let's get
on your breakup. Is this real? Baby, you better. It's realer than anything you've ever experienced.
The Texas just comes right out of Baker Mayfield, and it becomes yokel speak.
And he's like, I'm just going to put on my shades.
Put my shades on. Are you feeling dangerous today?
I'm feeling dangerous right now.
Yeah, I woke up feeling dangerous. Let's go for a ride.
Oh, the minute you get your ass kicked. Are you feeling dangerous there, Baker? Are you feeling dangerous when you got hit by a guy who's 6'6", 290 pounds that runs a 4.440 with your little ass?
The best part is that even Baker Mayfield's a little taken aback by the intensity of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Well, if you didn't come to be intense, I don't know what you came for.
I mean, this is straight up Steve Austin.
I mean, this is uncut, unfiltered Steve Austin.
Guy Fieri's taking notes. I mean, how do I be this extreme?
What do you don't? You don't think DeFieri cooks for the man? I mean, Fieri's in the kitchen right now whipping something super spicy up for him.
All right.
Hey, Baker, I heard that you are a fan of Sasquatch.
I am.
You got a Sasquatch call?
I do.
This ain't no bull. You got to give me a Sasquatch yell. He's coming around the corner. Let's haul ass. That was awesome.
What the hell's going? Like Sasquatch, the mythical creature?
Yeah. All I know is that
is that really what they're talking about? Fred, is Sasquatch the mythical creature?
That might have been the most kick-ass 30 seconds of radio we've ever aired. Like just pure fistful of ass kicking.
I heard
it's
you're
starting,
a big
hey man,
fan.
Ain't no bullcrap. Give me a Sasquatch. Yeah. And then they just peel on
now,
off.
No, is the Sasquatch like a certain kind of yell? Or is it the mythical creature?
Yeah, it's the mythical creature.
I heard you're a big
yell like a Sasquatch.
I heard you're a big fan of something that doesn't exist.
Yes, I guess so.
All right, wait, but I mean,
let me just see. Hang on. We take a deep breath. We find a comfortable space. And let me hear that last 30 seconds one more time.
All right.
I'm feeling dangerous right
hey,
now.
I
yeah.
woke up feeling yeah. dangerous. Let's go for a ride.
All right.
Hey, Baker, I heard you are a fan of Sasquatch.
I am.
You got a Sasquatch call?
I do.
This ain't no bull. You got to give me a Sasquatch yell.
Yeah, all right. There's no BS.
Nope.
This show is not the place to come and spread your agenda.
Because it's straight up Steve Austin.
Yeah, this ain't no mamby-pamby BS.
Right.
This is Jim Gray style.
He's coming around.
Godsmack drummer.
That's all ass. That was awesome.
I like the guitar in the background.
So they driving this thing all over town. And just they're rolling over cars, and so they finally they pull
just hitting people,
just ramming them off the road,
ramming nerds off the road,
just shoving faces in toilets. All right, stats, and then they end up going to this one parking lot, and this parking lot has got something special waiting for them.
Got it on today, don't you?
You ready for this?
I think so.
Let's jump out of Warthog. Now, I told you I was going to take you to someplace you never really been. And most time on Sundays, Saturdays, you're always on the football field doing your thing and everybody's watching you.
Yeah.
But behind the scenes or out in the parking lots, there's a lot of people real serious about doing some tailgating. This is basically the ultimate tailgating supercar or, if you will, supercart.
Okay.
So sounds great.
So sitting in front of them are two like old leather recliners that have kick-ass motors on the back of them and wheels.
Jesus.
So they're just like, dude.
No, they don't.
Have you ever thought, man, this recliner needs a hot rod?
There's no way.
So this show is basically like we put an engine in it.
Yep.
And there ain't no flame.
Yeah.
I'm listening. What you got? Stone cold.
This is basically the ultimate tailgating supercar, or if you will, supercart. So it's almost like sitting in your living room, but you're taking your living room with you outside. Are you ready for this?
I think so.
Wow, like someone's got a 1960 lawnmower. There's nothing more impressive than the sound of that thing kicking in.
Wow.
Sounds like
might flood.
It sounds like Johnny Five farting.
That's true. It's the pup that cleans out your basement.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's do it.
This might be the coolest thing I've ever done.
Sounds like these girls are going at lightning speed.
This show should be called Hell Yeah.
No, the show should be called Put a Motor in It. You ever kick ass?
That should be called.
Yeah.
Ever kick ass? With a question mark.
We brought out a dead cat with wheels. Come on.
Hell yeah.
You put wheels on a dead cat and controlled it with a remote? Is that what it was?
No, you ride it.
Okay, all right, I see it.
See, when the body becomes stiff from rigor mortis. Vroom, vroom, vroom.
Vroom, vroom, vroom.
Hey, Fluffy, why can't you? Oh, there's a motor. Where your intestines once were.
And there ain't no flag!
All right, so Baker and Stone Cold, they're obviously having the time of their life. They're doing the coolest things that have ever been done.
Of course.
And they decide to do what, Rich?
And then they take their little recliners on wheels, and they pull into what looks like a pretty kick-ass tailgate.
Right. Is there just like the worst band in the world following them
right,
around?
Right. They're actually riding on a flatbed truck. It's Hinder.
little.
Right. People think we're just the lips of an angel band, but we rock.
It's a foreigner cover band follows me everywhere.
Hell yeah, here we are. What do you think of that ride?
I like it.
All right, Baker, here we got the ultimate tailgate experience. And I got a little bit of indoor-outdoor carpet with on the 50-yard line. My skull. With this busy yard, have you ever got...
What? Bruno Sammartino's skull?
No, it would be...
I bought it on eBay.
He said it's a picture of his skull, which is on
like
there.
Like without skin?
Yeah, it's like there's like a tailgate, and it's like a brown... Cleveland Browns thing, but it's got the Stone Cold Steve Austin skull on it.
Okay.
Now, which, of course, because it just wasn't kick-ass enough. You needed a skull. Somewhere a skull was going to show up in this episode. We knew that.
Now, are there people around?
There's just one lonely chef. That's it.
Okay.
Want a bowling shirt covered in skulls. They got it.
Thank you, James Stewart.
Well, now you got my attention. One day, I was digging up Roddy Piper for the femurs.
And I got a little bit of indoor-outdoor carpet with on the 50-yard line, my skull. With this busy yard, have you ever got a chance to do any tailgating yourself?
It's been a long time since I was little in Norman, Oklahoma. And I'll be honest, I enjoyed a little bit of the food, but I was there to whip somebody's ass in some football right there by the stadium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, now you're talking my language, you sumbitch.
Yeah, I was out there to whip a little ass.
I was tuned out until you said kicking some ass, and all of a sudden I'm back in.
Yes. The years of wrestling have not been kind to Stone Cold.
I enjoyed a little bit of the food, but I was there to whip somebody's ass in some football right there by the stadium.
But there are those people that love to spectate, and this is the passionate fan base.
Exactly.
Which you and the Cleveland Browns have generated.
Exactly.
So this is how they're doing it up, but the bottom line is, you got to have some badass food.
How y'all doing?
Good to see you.
Jacob, how are you?
Pleasure.
You happen to cook at one of Baker's favorite restaurants here in the great city of Cleveland. Yeah.
He's always eating salads at Town Hall.
That's what I'm eating.
Dressing on the side.
Wow, that guy sounds pretty badass.
He's always eating salads with dressing on the side. Whatevs.
Somebody just put this dork in the locker.
Just Josh, and he's a regular paleo.
Who got this guy?
So I brought you some Stone Cold muffins.
Give me Fieri's stat.
Brought you some Stone Cold souffle dishes. Some Stone Cold Cornish game heads. I put a motor in this one.
Who's getting fired for this goofball?
You happen to cook at one of Baker's favorite restaurants here in the great city of Cleveland. Yeah.
He's always eating salads at Town Hall.
That's what I'm eating.
Dressing on the side.
So what kind of food do you have on the grill for us?
So we actually made some pork belly today, and then you got your provolone cheese. Grab up, guys.
And the last requirement for any successful tailgate is...
hookers.
Painkillers.
Stone cold prostitutes.
And the last requirement for any successful tailgate is a tasty beverage. A
There you go. One for you.
So all of a sudden, he's got a beer launcher. Just launches beer at your
head.
That's
what you want. You want a beer, nice beer you can't open.
Yeah, that's right. And spray all over your face.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be quick.
Oh, one for me.
That thing's coming out fast.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hell yeah.
We just drank a beer.
No, is that the end of it?
No, of course. They run around more and blow up more stuff and, you know, hunt deer with their hands. Just like jump out of trees and
yes.
murder animals.
I brought you a deer cadaver. I want you to eat the beating skull or the beating heart.
I mean, this is my one of my new favorite shows.
And there ain't no flesh.
Now, what's it on?
It's on USA.
Oh, man.
How appropriate.
And they're smart. They put it on right after wrestling. And it's just basically Stone Cold shows up and makes things a million times more kick ass.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to put that on VCR.
It's a snap into a Slim Jim commercial come to life.
Well, if only they sponsor him, they'd be all over that. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
That's an app. Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Nothing. The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Dan and Mike send us stories every day, and this one is so funny. It's not worth the whole break, but it is pretty funny. It says, if Tom Brady wants to play until he's 45, why can't Mark Wahlberg join an NFL roster at age 48? The Dorchester native posted the latest in a series of shirtless snapshots on Instagram over the weekend, and the Patriots quarterback took notice, joking that Wahlberg might stand a shot and making the team's roster. We're looking for some skilled players, Brady wrote. Let coach coming for that spot. So, fine. You joshed around. Then, all right, because this is like Wahlberg's business, is why he's doing this. And then you got to figure these guys aren't – this next guy's not his friend. He's just popping out of nowhere.
Okay.
Show them fellas in their 40s. Show them fellas in their 40s are all about. You look awesome, bro. Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell. He's just going through Instagram and he sees like a shredded dude and he's just like, bro, you look awesome.
Wahlberg's 50 now, isn't he?
48, right?
Oh, he's 48. Okay, yeah. All right.
I mean, he still gets shredded.
I mean, he's completely jacked.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the man gets shredded. But I just picture Mario Lopez going, like, I was Slater. I'm just going to go through this sumbitch till, Marky Mark looking good.
Goodness gracious, Marky Mark.
Goodness gracious.
What have you done? I followed him on Instagram for a couple of weeks because it was hysterical. Like, he was always posting stuff. Here it is. It's 2 a.m. I'm working out with kettlebells. Strive to be better. And it was him always just like working out, just showing you how early he's woken up.
And by the way, even if you're an actor, like all you do is sit there. Like you could work out 10 hours a day if you were actively shooting a movie.
Well, Wahlberg posted his work schedule or his daily schedule. And I'm looking at it going, there was no need for you to get up that early.
No, there's absolutely none.
It was, and like he only spent like 30 minutes. Okay, here it is. 2:30 a.m. Hang on, let me see if I got it right here. Okay, 2:30 a.m. wake up. 2:45 a.m. prayer time. Ooh, that got my mom all crazy. 3:15 a.m. She's like, "Oh, Wahlberg, I'll see every one of your movies." 3:15 a.m. breakfast. 3:40 to 5:15 a.m. workout. It's a big ass workout, hour and a half. 5:30 a.m. post workout meal. 6 a.m., shower. 7:30 a.m., golf. 8 a.m., snack. 9:30 a.m., cryo chamber recovery.
Wait. What
half
time
an hour.
Start playing golf?
Half an hour for
That's
golf.
That's a short-ass golf game. No, even if his snack is while he's playing golf.
Yeah.
I mean, so you start playing at 7:30, and you're in the cryo chamber by 9:30.
2 hours.
And that's a long-ass shower.
What is he doing? He's playing nine.
Running. He's got like a dragster that he takes from the tee to the green.
Yep.
That's a popular time to play, too.
Yep.
He pops out of the cryo chamber, and they just hand him another snack because he gets one of those at 10:30.
Well, the cryo chamber is weird. Remember, he couldn't find a cryo chamber on the road, so he dunked himself in the ocean and called it Nature's Cryo.
Nature's Cryo Chamber.
Yeah, Mario Lopez was... Zach was more impressed with that one.
Oh, and here we go. Finally, he gets to have some time with his family, except it's family time slash meeting slash work calls. So the kids can be playing while I'm on the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm in my office.
Yeah, you throw an iPad down.
1 p.m. lunch. 2 p.m. meeting slash work calls. 3 p.m. pick up kids at school. 3:30 snack. 4 p.m. workout, too. So once again, just a few minutes
like
with the
kids. Snacks take a long time.
Yeah, those are the 30-minute snacks.
Yeah, it's just, you know... That you must be doing something.
4 p.m. workout number two. 5 p.m. shower. 5:30 p.m. dinner slash family time. And 7:30 p.m. bedtime. You're going to bed at 7:30 every day?
Well, you could. The other alternative is you could stay up till 9 and not get up at 3:30 in the morning.
Right. You could kind of just adjust things a little bit.
You could adjust 2 hours to give yourself... Well, it's nice to know that you're honed in on what's going on in popular entertainment, too, considering you're quite the filmmaker. I wonder when that movie that is coming out that was shot, the Spencer for Hire film.
Oh, yeah.
It was shot in the gritty streets of Slavin Hill or whatever the hell.
Looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. Spencer was like 6'3", 215 pounds, and Wahlberg's what, 5'6"?
Well, 150? I told you that, because Wahlberg was talking about it, so I was like, I'll read a couple of these Spencer for Hire books. And then the first one, this because I guess like he's got this female companion for the last 20 of them.
Yes.
But in the first one, he finds this woman who he's been looking for, who's naked on a cross while they're about to impale her with things.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes her, he gets her out and kills everyone or something. And then he takes her home and has sex with her.
Yep.
So you're saying these books are based in realism?
No, but it's like what a terrible thing to do. Like the woman's obviously just been through hell, and now you're taking. And then he had sex with the mom.
15 pages later.
Yeah, 15 pages later.
If it's the same book, I think that's the first one, the God Wolf manuscript. Yeah,
it's the first one.
That's right.
Yeah, because he has sex with this lady that's just been on a crucifix while people are looking to torture her.
Yes.
And then he goes to the.
She's grateful. Yeah, well, you saved me.
Yeah. That's not the time to have sex with someone.
Apparently it is.
I mean, he's Spencer after all. He can't resist
them. This goes beyond... Yeah, I'm sure she was lusting after him. This goes beyond me, too. This is... I have just rescued a woman from this torturous thing. But then, he goes to the girl's mom's house.
Yeah, scores his mom, too.
And then she's like, let's have sex. He's like, all right. Yep. Yeah, I'm Spencer.
It's quite amazing, actually.
And I have a dog with me on the end of the book for some reason. Well, this was handed to me is that a man went 2,900 miles from San Francisco to Honolulu. He was paddleboarding.
Hey, now, the ultimate Zen experience.
Now, it's not. What he's doing is showing off. Now, I was able to get at least... 100 yards on my last paddleboard adventure before I fell off and started puking and had to be dragged in by the guy who was in charge of it. But I did have a friend of mine say that they went to the same paddleboarding place and they told the guy, and he's like, oh, I wouldn't, you'd be surprised how many people do that. And to that, I would say, people that are 90. I don't think there's too many guys in their mid-40s that are unable to navigate the paddleboard, especially since they've been using one. For 20 years, but this is no paddleboard at all. What he's riding in, it's a cheap excuse for a paddleboard.
What is it?
It's a boat that he stands on.
Sure, let me see a picture.
I mean, this is supposed to be a paddleboard.
Oh, dude, standing in a boat. It's a boat.
That's not right.
Yeah, I mean, all he's doing, and so he's just. People row that all the time. You don't think if you stuck Wahlberg in that thing?
It's got that's where he sleeps. It's perfectly sized for Wahlberg. You don't think Wahlberg could just get out there and do it?
That's his pint-sized cryo chamber right there.
There it is. And the funny thing is, it's like, I did it to save the ocean. Well, congratulations.
What? How does that? I don't understand how one meets the other
It says on the side of the paddleboard, save the ocean.
Oh, I see.
So everyone's thinking, I was going to ignore the ocean, but now this guy paddleboarded with a boat that said, save the ocean.
Now I want to save it.
Well, now I'm going to save it. So I think the three of us should get together and save the ocean.
Done.
Based on this guy.
10:30, save the ocean. 11 o'clock, snack. I'm charting out our day already.
But for me...
11:30, forget about saving the ocean. It's too tough. Noon, snack.
12:30, golf.
For me...
12:30, golf. 12:45, stop golfing. From 12:46 to 12:48, family time.
8 a.m., wake up. 8:15, kill.
that is, I'm sure, some people's schedule.
2 p.m., start the show.
All right. We are going to have everybody's angry in Brookline. People are very angry over there. We have audio of them.
That is a happy sound for cool. Such an angry bet. Where the hell did that come from?
I don't know. Pretty cool, though.
That's pretty neat. I like that sound.
Yeah. I'm trying to get up the old phone screener here. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll listen to this. Josh, go ahead. Josh, you're on the radio.
Hi. I don't know how many of the Spencer books you read. I know, like, the first one was so different because he was trying to write sort of like Humphrey Bogart. So that book is kind of like this, like, 1920s idea that, like, the... You know, there's, like, all these femme fatales, and you just go around different sex with everyone. And I think it's, like, a lot different in the later books.
Yeah, he gets
so much different.
Yeah, he finds some lady, and she helps him out.
Yeah, he finds... Yeah, and of course, it sort of reflects Robert Parker's actual life, where he doesn't actually live with the girl. But, I think it was kind of interesting. And then, you know, Patrick Kensey for Dennis Lehane actually kind of follows in the way Spencer does, and then he writes...
Well, I don't care.
What was that?
There's a guy who writes Spencer for Hire books now that's not the guy.
Yeah, no, I know that. That's what he was talking about?
I don't know. I thought he was going to have some comment on the way that he had sex with the woman that was just being tortured. All right, we'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich. Toucher and Rich. Download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
We're Toucher and Rich. Gronkowski has a press conference today at 9:30.
Yep.
It's scheduled to go for about 2 hours.
I think it's 9:30 to 10:15 is the presentation. And then at 10:15, they take questions from the press about it. So I don't know what's going to be in a 45-minute presentation.
Getting the Nobel Prize.
If prayers are answered, it means he's just talking for 45 minutes straight, which would be absolutely phenomenal. I mean, we'll at 9:30, you know, do whatever we can to find out if we can get a live feed of what's happening there. But I was kind of looking around last night. And as I said, I received an invite as one of the people from the press to go. And the only clue that I got from the press release, which was extremely vague, was that the email address, I looked at the name of the company that it was, and I found the website, and it's one that advertises, or it's a PR firm for a bunch of companies like Restoration Hardware, Angry Orchard Cider, I think was one of them, Whole Foods. And so it sounds like to me he's just going to announce some sort of endorsement or brand ambassador, like they like to call it now, type of deal. However, I did find this last night when I was looking around. And I don't know how reliable this source is, but this is someone named Devin Clements who has 5,000 followers. He says he writes for Patriots Wire. And he said, Rob Gronkowski's new adventure, there's a press release that was released, he said, a gamified obstacle course launched by Stadium Blitz. And reading this description, it sounds exactly like the type of thing Rob Gronkowski would invest in. It says Stadium Blitz is a one-of-a-kind stadium-based obstacle race design combined with innovative scoring technology that creates the perfect environment for fitness enthusiasts of every level. Compete as an individual, as a team working together, as teams working in competition. The courses will be held in Buffalo, Tampa, etc., starting in October.
Yeah, it's really, if you're covering Buffalo and Tampa, the rest really doesn't matter.
We got to hit all the metropolises.
That's all.
Buffalo, Tampa, etc.
Yeah, it's all, we call it flyover country. Everywhere from Tampa to Buffalo is just flyover country.
And that does actually sound like something we do, because Buffalo is where he's from, and Tampa's probably his own personal paradise.
It's Ybor City, right?
Yes. He wants to take a time machine down to Florida. So, I mean, this, and it sounds basically like it's a traveling America, inflatable American Ninja Warrior.
And it makes sense, because hence the 45-minute presentation.
Yeah.
Is that you'd have, like, people, like, run through the thing.
Now, who knows if this is what it actually is?
It does make sense.
And how great would that be if he has to talk about, like, a traveling bouncy house,
right,
for 45 minutes?
You could jump on it, but you got to take your shoes off first.
I mean, because if you don't, you could, like, pop it. My bros and I, we pop one time a long time ago and throw each other around inside of a bouncy house. We were at the State Fair. We threw a carny inside of it. You know he was going to get thrown. We got thrown inside.
We also have the ride where you take the burlap sack and you go down. So, yeah, that sounds about right.
It does sound about right, but either way.
And then
way,
at the end, he's going to go, I'm playing football.
Yeah, he'll just tell everyone. Yeah, and by the way, I'm back with the Patriots.
Yeah, by the way, I'm going back tomorrow to camp.
By the way, this is kind of funny. Somebody who listens to the show very much so, recalling last break, saying, hey, guys, Wahlberg's 30-minute snack time isn't long for a snack time. Bird has snack time from 6 to 10 a.m. on your show.
That's true. Well, so much of it is preparation.
It's, you know, you got to get the blender working, right, Bird?
Yeah, that's right. He's got to get the blender, then he's got to clean the blender,
and
then
toaster.
He's
got to
make the shake, mm-hmm, and then he's got to clean the blender again, and then he's got to toast his English muffin. And then he's got to butter his English muffin.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, it's all told, it takes about, I would say, an hour. Nothing wrong with that. All right, so no commercials here, just the headlines. When we come back, everybody's angry in Brookline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.